Welcome to our midweek study. If you would, take out your Bible and open up to Revelation chapter 2. If you haven't had the chance, I want you to remind you that Kason and Kaylee Lawrence have moved to Jefferson City, and as the elders have emailed out, hopefully you know by now that the plan is for June 21st for all of us to be able to gather together again at the building, and hopefully nothing will change in that as we go, but keep your ears open for the announcement that's sent out and the updates that come along the way. Make sure maybe by then we'll be able to welcome the Lawrences face to face and pray for them and encourage them. If you would, open up to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. As we continue our study of the seven churches of Asia, we started off the first week in Ephesus and then to Smyrna and now to Pergamum. And then today to be able to study about Thyatira. Thyatira was far west of modern-day Turkey, in the country of Turkey, due west of Athens, Greece, so about 50 miles from the Aegean Sea. And Thyatira was really known for one thing in particular. It was known for trade guilds. We would probably call them unions nowadays. But they were known for them for everything from those who made pottery to those who made idols to those who did any kind of skill of labor. They were really organized in those things. And so I want you to think about those things as we go through and study these verses, beginning in chapter 18. As Jesus writes these letters, he always introduces them with telling something about himself, as if to remind the church and even us, the readers, the saints, of who is really talking to us. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this. Jesus reminds the saints, this is the Son of God talking. The same Son of God that overcame death, the same Son of God that created all that we see, the same Son of God of the Father. He says, remember, I know how things are supposed to be, and I know what you need, and I know what you lack. He says, whose eyes are like a flame of fire. I don't know if you ever did something stupid in life. Maybe you were young, and whenever your parents looked at you, you felt like they had eyes of fire. They had warned you before, but you didn't obey it. And now they come at you, and it's time for wrath. They've been patient, but now the time has come. And his feet are like burnished bronze. They're polished. There's nothing left undone. Says this. Verse 19. I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Maybe in verse 18 you thought about the burnished bronze. Thought about, man, it sounds like it's all polished and ready to go. Well, if you look at the church in verse 19, it sounds like they're doing really well. Maybe you thought about Thyatira being a city of unions. Maybe there were those who were bronze workers that were in a union. But they sound like they're doing really good. He says, I know your deeds. I know what you do. I know your love, and that is agape love. I know that you sacrifice for me. I know that you hold to me. He says, your faith. I know that you trust me even whenever it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. He says, you have faith and you trust. Service. This Greek word, the root word, is where we also get our word for deacon. Those who serve and look for opportunities and fill them when they find them. He says, I know your service. I know your perseverance. I know that you bear up under difficult circumstances. I know you don't give up when it's hard. You keep going. He says, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. I know that you are growing and getting better. He says, I know what you're doing. I know you're self-sacrificing for me. I know you trust me when it doesn't make sense. I know that you serve me and you look for opportunities. I know that you keep going even when it gets difficult. And I know that you're getting stronger and greater. Sounds like everything is polished like burnished bronze. Here comes the flames of fire. Here come the eyes. Verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. He says, but there's a problem. He says, you tolerate the woman Jezebel. If you look up the word for tolerate, it just literally means you've given her an allowance. You've allowed her to continue. You should have stopped her. You should have stood up. Now notice, these are a people who love the Lord. They have faith. They have service. They persevere when things are hard. They're growing. He says, but it's time for you not to tolerate her. And I want you to notice how she's described. Jesus gives her the name Jezebel. Maybe that's her real name. Maybe it's not. They know who Jesus is talking about. There's no guess in their mind. It says, you tolerate Jezebel. If you think back to the Old Testament in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, Elijah and in the times of Elisha both deal with Jezebel. Jezebel is the daughter of the king of Sidon. Sidon is where the gods like Baal and the female deity of the Asherah come from. Ahab, who is the king of Israel, married Jezebel. And she was allowed to do whatever she wanted, is the way it seems. She wanted to kill Elijah at one point. She wanted him dead after he had stood up for the Lord and killed hundreds of prophets to her god Baal. There were times where she was instrumental in trying to have her husband acquire a vineyard next door to the palace. And she just flat out had a plan to lie against a man by the name of Naboth. And seemingly she got what she wanted. She was wicked. She tried to reign and do it all. She wanted the women to take over everything. And it's just as bad for the women to take over everything as it is for men to try and do it. It's up to let the Lord lead and let Him be the one who we submit to. Even there's a prophecy that Elijah gives in 1 Kings 21:23. He says, the dogs will eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel. And sure enough, that's what happens. There's a man by the name of Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 9. He looks up in the tower and there's Jezebel. Her eyes have been painted. She's adorned her head and she's looking out the window, seemingly down a tower. And Jehu calls up to those two or three officials that are standing there and says, who is on my side? Who? And then the officials looked out the window and Jehu said, throw her down. And they did, which tells you how much they cared for her. They threw her down and her blood splattered up on the wall and on the horses, and the horses even trampled her underfoot because she was cursed. She honored the gods of the idols, not the God of heaven. She even tried to destroy the prophets of God, like Elijah and Elisha. So when you notice it here in verse 20, he says, I have this against you that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Yeah, she's self-appointed. It doesn't say they call her a prophetess. She says she calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray. She takes those who are going to strive to do what's right, who are naive, maybe even gullible, and she teaches them and leads them away from Jesus, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Acts of immorality. That's sexual immorality. If you want to think in terms of it, also talks about idols. Maybe it's the idea of temple prostitutes. But the idea is, it's not pure. And she's leading them astray from the purity that's in Jesus. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. Maybe that doesn't sound so big to us, but it is. If you remember back in Acts 15, whenever the elders and Paul and some of the others, they wrote a letter that was going to go out to all of the Gentiles one of the four major things was to avoid eating things that are sacrificed to idols. It's what everyone was told. And Jezebel says, who cares? I'm a prophetess. It's okay. She led them astray. But I want you to see how personal Jesus takes this. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and look down at verse 12, it's the same situation in Corinth about talking about things that are sacrificed to idols. Paul goes through and talks about don't take advantage of freedoms. He says, not okay. But I want you to hear this statement. If people were going to go on and eat things sacrificed to idols, this is how Jesus sees it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Jezebel wasn't sinning just any old normal sin. We know that all sins are against God, but this is one that Christ takes personal. And this was Jezebel leading her guild, leading her union, and saying, you don't have to listen to Jesus. You don't have to worry about Christ. And yet what she was doing was sinning against Christ and wounding the conscience of others and sinning against the brethren to lead them astray. We have to be mindful about our freedoms. Jesus sure cares, and we had better care. Notice how it continues into verse 21. He says, I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her immorality. Jesus says, I've already given her time. She doesn't want it. Have there been times in our lives where God demanded our repentance, but we didn't want it? We didn't make a move? We didn't care? He says, I gave her time to repent. She doesn't want to repent of her immorality. She doesn't want to change. And so it's going to come at a great price to her. I want you to notice what Jesus is going to do. He's been patient. He's waited. She is stubborn and hard-hearted and wicked and calling herself a prophetess. Will Jesus sit there and do nothing? Certainly not. He has told the saints there at Thyatira, this is what I have against you. You tolerate her. Don't tolerate her anymore. She'd be the type of personality that'd say, you know what, this place can't do anything without me. What foolishness. What arrogance. Maybe sometimes people think about that in the church nowadays. They think, you know, if I wasn't here, it wouldn't work. Then you're just like Jezebel, whether it be a woman or a man. The only person the church cannot do without is Jesus. And that's it. Look at verse 22. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. He says, I'm going to throw her into sickness. This is not a new concept. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 11:32. If we're not going to examine ourselves, God's going to discipline us. If you look back in the Old Testament, you can look at Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, where Zechariah writes about the shepherds who were wicked in Israel. They're only self-serving. They only care about themselves. They kill the fat sheep and use what's theirs. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wither up your right arm, and I'm going to make you blind in your right eye. And he wasn't kidding. This is not the first time that Jesus and God have used physical ailments to correct his people. Sometimes, whenever church people get sick and we quickly run to their aid, maybe we ought to give pause. Is this discipline from the Lord? Sometimes we'll never know. But we should always think about it, to consider it, to still respond out of love, but to know, am I working with God or against God? Sometimes there are people we think are really sweet. Here's Jezebel. She is in the crosshairs. Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire, and they are set on Jezebel because she won't repent. And I'm going to throw her on a bed of sickness. And what about the rest of the people in her union? What about the rest of those who are in her guild, who are submitting to her? Those who commit adultery with her in the great tribulation. Now, there was a bigger tribulation that was coming, but you're going to have a great one here. He says, but there is a way out. If you're a follower of Jezebel and her group, eating things sacrificed to idols and committing acts of immorality, he says, I gave her time to repent. Here's your choice. What are you going to do? He says, how's it going to turn out for you? Are you going to continue with her arrogance? Are you going to make an allowance for her and tolerate her to lead you astray from Jesus and what the apostles had taught? Verse 23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. He says, I'll kill her children too. I'll take them down with pestilence, death, sickness, disease, because he wants repentance. He doesn't do it just for wrath. He wants their hearts to change. He wants all the church to learn a lesson, not just the wicked, but the righteous. The righteous and wicked both need to know that Jesus searches the mind and the hearts. The mind, that's where your thinking is, how you go about thinking of things and thinking of Jesus. And your hearts, what's your motive? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going along with Jezebel? Why have you tolerated her? Jesus knows the answer. And that's why Thyatira gets this message. He says, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. He says, there will be no injustice. It will be right, and it will be true. Verse 24. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan as they call them, I place no other burden on you. He says, to the faithful, you're going to watch it happen right in front of your eyes, and you are going to learn. You're going to see that I know the hearts. I search them and I know the minds. And as you watch, I know you're different from them. Because Jesus knows the hearts and the minds, he can cipher out who is with him and who's in this wicked guild of Jezebel. He says, I place no other burden on you. He says, nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. It's not time to slack up. If you were part of the people that were mentioned in verse 19, about knowing their deeds, their love, faith, service, and perseverance, and that they're growing, he says, keep on holding on. Don't let go. Don't slack off. Keep moving forward. And in the midst of all these things together, I want you to notice what he comes around to. Look at verse 26. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who overcomes. I want you to realize in Thyatira, there could be folks from both sides, those with Jezebel and those with Jesus, who could be overcomers. Those who are described in verse 19, to hold on and keep on going, they would overcome. What if you came to your senses? Maybe you had followed Jezebel, and then you came to your senses and you weren't going to tolerate her anymore. You could be an overcomer too. We have to understand, as the faithful, we had better be a forgiving people, even when they get caught up with Jezebel. If they repent and return, we had sure better be a forgiving people, or we won't overcome. We've got to hold Jesus in love. Yeah, that's self-sacrificing. In faith, to trust Jesus and not ourselves. In service and perseverance, even when it gets difficult. He makes the statement, He who keeps my deeds until the end, you have to do it all the way through, to him I will give authority over the nations. He says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. We've already talked about this before. Rod of iron rules over clay every time. Every time. But notice, as I also have received authority from my Father. If you were to look at the situation going on at the writing of this book of Revelation by John, that Jesus would be revealed, does it look like Jesus is reigning? The Roman Empire is wicked and evil, and they seemingly get to do what they want. And yet here is Jesus. He has received authority from his Father, and he is already reigning. Sometimes we become foolish. We don't walk by faith. We just look at what we see. And we don't see Jesus reigning. But understand this. Before these events in Revelation are finished, you're going to know who searches the hearts and the minds. And you're going to know who's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He says, I have already received authority from my Father. And now you're going to see it. And then verse 28 is one of the sweetest promises. And I will give him the morning star. If you want to look over at the last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, am the root, the descendant of David, and the bright morning star. He says, you hold fast to what I've given you. He says, you stay true to my deeds of love, faith, service, perseverance, and keep growing. And I will give you me. How's that for a promise to the overcomer? For Jesus to say, I will give you me. What else could we want? What else could we strive for in this world? But Jesus. And he says, if you overcome, I'll give you me. I am the bright morning star. Revelation 22:16. Verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we spiritually minded? Or would we be like the followers of Jezebel who will follow her all the way to death and all the way to hell? Or are we going to be part with Jesus and to let him lead us? We'll be blessed if we hold to Jesus, knowing that he's the Son of God, knowing that his feet are like burnished bronze. They're polished, perfect. Hold to his deeds, to sacrifice out of love, not self-will, but selfless. Faith, to walk by what Jesus says. Service, to look for opportunities and to seize them when they come and fill them. To even to continue like persevering, even under difficult circumstances, knowing that the Lord will provide. And not allow those like Jezebel, man or woman, who call himself a prophet or a prophetess, to come in and think that the church needs them, that they hold up Christ, because that's arrogant and wicked. May we hold to Jesus with all of our heart, and may we continue to grow, knowing that someday Jesus will be formed in us, if he hasn't already. Amen.